It could be you hungry. It could be you homeless. It could be you who's had a run-in with the law, and it's been bad enough to where you've served some time, but you're back now in your community, but the crime for which you were convicted is, in many people's minds, the worst of the worst. Now, this is something we hadn't talked about in a while, but yes, we are going to be talking, once again, very frankly, very honestly, about sex offender laws and how they are in bad need of reforming, despite what a lot of people are screaming and shouting about. Well, there's an organization that's headquartered in the St. Louis, Missouri area. And the head of this organization has been on the program a few times before. It's been a while since she's graced the program with her presence, but she is waiting in the wings, or I should say on the phone, to come in and to really, hopefully in the best sense of the word, shake some people up. Vicki Henry with Women Against Registry, are you with me?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Vicki Henry, welcome back to this week's It Could Be You. It's always a treat talking with you because you tell it like it is.
And yes, thank you for the opportunity.
Whenever we can. Now, tell it like it is. Maybe with some, we'll start the listeners out on something relatively easy. I always like to get some basic information out of the way. So, Women Against Registry, all right? How can people, and not just women, how can people get in touch with your organization, either to become a member, to find out more about the research that you're doing in this area? What's your contact information?
Okay. They can contact us at 800-311-3764, mm-hmm. and they can also email us at contact@womenagainstregistry.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there is your website as well.
Yes, and that's Women Against Registry, and it should pop up for you, and there's a lot of information there.
I was going through some of the latest information that you had on your website prepping for today's program, and yes, you do cover a lot of information, and you do present some articles, some other things, and I'm going to be asking you to talk about a couple of these things in just a bit, but you shake up the so-called conventional wisdom when it comes to sex offender laws and the way registrants are treated after they get back into the community. Now, there has been a relatively new wrinkle in that there is a chapter of Women Against Registry here in Arkansas. Are you in a position to share any contact information about the WAR Arkansas chapter?
Absolutely. Our Arkansas state leader is named Debbie Old, mm-hmm. and I'm sure she's listening right now. And we do have a website mm-hmm. for the state. It's Arkansas Women Against Registry. Mm-hmm. And Debbie's phone number, which I think was listed on our announcement, mm-hmm. is 479-866-1464.
Do me a favor and give the toll-free number for the headquarters organization and for Debbie Holt's phone again, please.
Our number, WAR's number, national, is 800-311-3764. Mm-hmm. Debbie's phone is 479-866-1464.
Mm-hmm. Now, even with all of the fears and the concerns about the virus that's going around, dealing with what so many people would start by saying, ooh, those pedophiles. But WAR is still very actively encouraging people to volunteer to help turn things around for the better, as well as encouraging people to donate. Now, that's still the case. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And if people want to, for example, donate to Women Against Registry, any donation is tax deductible. The organization has tax exempt status.
Yes.
And and just to clarify, if someone wants to donate to Arkansas WAR, is this chapter also tax exempt?
there is not a separate chapter. They would have to donate through the national site and then designate it to go to Arkansas.
Okay, and the same for anyone who would like to volunteer. Am I correct on that?
Well, if anybody would like to volunteer, we do have an email. It's volunteers, plural, at womenagainstregistry.com. And people can send us an email there and tell us, you know, what you would like to help with, what your experience is, maybe give us some examples of some things that you've done.
Your skill set, and, things like that.
Yes. And we will get in touch with you, and we need plenty of volunteers to help with this advocacy.
Fair enough. Now, I know that the virus situations, the scares, if you want to call it that, that has affected plans of Women Against Registry. Normally, I understand that you have like an annual national conference, or like once every 2 years or something like that. Am I correct in sharing with the listeners that there are no plans under current circumstances for a national war conference for this year?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And the reason being, if I can elaborate on that, there are several reasons, but we did a cost-benefit analysis, and we recognized the cost of conferences usually about $20,000, and the benefit was not there. And I say that because the average attendance for any of the advocacy organizations was like 250, maybe 300. And while that's an awesome turnout, to have folks meet each other, hear great speakers, and get empowered, if they go back and cocoon, as they are groomed to do by the registry laws and by the POs, and the benefit is not there. And we practice one of the things that Galen Bogman taught us, and that was to get out there and shake hands and get to know people.
Now, I'm going on the assumption, please correct me if I get this wrong, that if anything really comes up to share in place, say, of an on-site, in-person conference, that WAR will have, like a webinar, or you're going to have podcasts that you can share with not only the members, but also with anyone else who's interested in what you're doing.
Correct.
Okay. And I know you put out this monthly, let's see, what is it, the War Call newsletter?
Right.
That would also contain information about any upcoming webinars, discussions, anything like that. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. And if anyone wants to get a hold of one of these copies, again, they need to contact you. They need to contact the WAR administration. Am I correct on that?
The work call, after they're distributed to members and contacts, is placed on our website. So you can see any of the previous work call newsletters, and then also the e-symposiums are on the website.
Okay. Now, sticking with a lot of the attentions, the concerns, everything about the COVID-19 virus, I've begun to hear and read about some stories coming out of different parts of the country, and one of the most shocking came out of Florida. But there are people who are on a registry, okay, that in some states, even a violation of one of so many technical conditions and so on would lead a registrant to be rearrested and possibly wind back up in prison. Well, these stories have begun to come out that some of these individuals, they had not committed a new sex offense. Let me repeat that. They had not committed a new sex offense, but they were picked up on a technical violation, such as failure to register a new vehicle or something like that. And I've heard these stories about some registrants who were kept in prison, in jail. They contracted the virus, and they died. And they died. Okay, now, how has WAR responded to hearing stories, to hearing reports like that?
Well, First, I'd like to speak to something that Debbie shared with us, and that was that the Coleman State Facility mm-hmm. has 600 folks that have been diagnosed with the
The Cummins, Cummins Max.
I mean Cummins, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Cummins yeah, Max, Cummins, the yeah. Cummins facility, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all those people have been tested. Now, there's quite an outbreak at Forest City, mm-hmm. Arkansas. Also.
The federal facility, yeah.
Yeah, right. So we want people to tell their stories, mm-hmm. and when we hear things like, you know, well, my loved one, I can't get in touch with them, mm-hmm. And all these things, we tell people to call their legislators, mm-hmm. tell their legislators, things like that. We're working with other organizations such mm-hmm. as FAM, who we have been working with for a while, and I and two of our members went to attend their rally at the U.S. Capitol mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, and they are really actively pushing, mm-hmm. You know, to get some things done. And so anyway, that's what we want people to tell their stories.
Okay.
And we do have okay. the means to tell your story on mm-hmm. our site.
Now, and it doesn't matter. It does not matter if the person, only in telling the story, getting the information out, it doesn't matter if the story comes from someone who's incarcerated or their families.
You need
the mm-hmm. individuals who are going to be affected, either directly, indirectly, to get that information out there. And also, just for clarification, you mentioned the group FAM. That's Families Against Mandatory Minimums.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, in getting these stories out, do you think that if by sheer numbers, if the stories come out, that's going to force people to say, whoa, wait a minute, something's seriously wrong here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That if there is such a good thing about the virus, it would have to be mm-hmm. it's right in people's faces. And mm-hmm. when I say people, mm-hmm. I mean the people that think that prisons and jails mm-hmm. and the overcrowding and
ready-made hotspots, in other words.
Right. Right, mm-hmm. and those people being there, you know, in that position is justified, and I think it's powerful, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things mm-hmm. that we are putting out there mm-hmm. and continuously.
Well, the one story I got out of Florida was someone who was both physically as well as mentally handicapped. And was mm-hmm. picked up by the police for failure to register. And mm-hmm. as I understand it, he was not in a position. He was so sick, he was not in a position to let the authorities know that there was a change of address. But they picked him up, and he was being held in jail. His attorney tried to get him out, and the court ruled in the man's favor, but it was about 3 days too late.
Yes, mm-hmm. and that's a sad reality in Florida, and mm-hmm. anybody that's been in this for, mm-hmm. you know, maybe 2 weeks or so know that, mm-hmm. you know, how Florida operates. But mm-hmm. yes, that's what happened. And not only the fact that he was so sick, but he was handicapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
That didn't matter.
You said the operative phrase, it didn't matter. To the powers mm-hmm. that be, it didn't matter. Well, let me kind of segue into the next question. Okay. Let's look at, again, all of this with the COVID, the coronavirus on there. How has this pandemic, in what other ways has this kind of affected or influenced what war nationally and perhaps what war right here in Arkansas is going to start doing to bring about much needed, long overdue reforms?
Well, I think one thing that, you know, we need to be clear about, and for those people that don't know me, my middle name is Frank, mm-hmm. but WAR's mission is not to reform.
Uh-huh.
No, we want to abolish the registry, and
uh-huh.
that makes us the redheaded stepchild of the movement. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
But we work every day to educate the masses and work mm-hmm. toward the abolishment because mm-hmm. there's too much out there mm-hmm. that indicates it's not working.
Mm-hmm. In just a few words this time, why ain't they working?
Well, and they're not working, they're not working because the recidivism rate, one thing I can cite is the Elman essay, which I have used that so many hundreds of times, but there's no 80% recidivism, never was.
No.
You know, Longo has backed up on that so many times since that came out.
And what you've got, the information you've got, has been peer-reviewed and is easily, readily available to anyone who wants to check into it.
Right. And you know, it's just a matter of people educating themselves, feeling empowered, and then going on to educate others. And I do have to say that we did have a win the other day as far as the virus. And we're kind of happy. Well, not kind of. We're happy about it. We have a director that has serious health issues and was told by his registration office that he would have to report in for his newly established 90-day registration, and they can arbitrarily do that in that state. We managed to get an attorney group to negotiate, and he doesn't have to chance getting out to register. So we're thankful for that.
From what I understand, some of these states that are still insisting on in-person registration, come what may, no matter what, that could be akin to serving a death sentence on more than a few individuals, and not just on the ones who would come in, but if that person would go back and unknowingly, let's say, infect family members, and then it just spreads out from there, that it wouldn't be just one person. It could be potentially a number of people who could be looking at a death sentence.
Right, and that's the bully aspect of some of these registration offices.
Well, and you touched on something else, and I'd like to get into that before we go to break, okay? You were recently interviewed on a podcast, and the host of that podcast is one Amanda Knox, and her series is called The Truth About True Crime. Now, she interviewed you. She interviewed a fellow who was the head of a group called Truckers Against, pedophiles, or against sex offenders. And she finally brought the two of you together. And what was so, to me, so incredible is that that this person, who maybe initially came across as a diehard vigilante, is now saying, you made me think. You got me to thinking. I'm now willing to kind of take a look at some materials that Women Against Registry have. And, I'd like to talk to you about this. I'd like to talk to you some more about this. Talk about that, if you would, please.
Okay, I'll talk fast. Anyway, we were contacted by Amanda's folks. We did a podcast with them.
And when was that podcast first aired?
I don't even remember. Sorry.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay. And then her folks came back and said, would you be willing to do a podcast with Anthony Green of Truckers Against Predators? And Anthony is right here in St. Louis. And I said, absolutely. And so they set that up. We did the podcast. And we got along famously, and they even just stopped asking questions and just let us talk. And we exchanged phone numbers. He said he would work with us and, you know, in a more productive manner other than FaceTiming someone. And we're going to go into the schools and educate them. And so anyway, we set up a date and a time to meet. Anthony didn't show up. He didn't answer calls. He didn't answer texts. I let Amanda know about that because he was posturing as politicians do on that call. And so she was not happy that he had done that, mm-hmm. and she apologized mm-hmm. for what how he had done that, mm-hmm. how he had mm-hmm. treated our organization. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what happened with that. But mm-hmm. it was an enlightening experience, and of course, her the way that she advocates mm-hmm. for people mm-hmm. Is very effective with Sundance. Films and that kind of thing.
Now, the Women Against Registry is keeping the door wide open for him and for other people who are willing to learn. I was listening to a program earlier today, and there's other group was talking about how difficult it is with all of these coronavirus fears going on, and some people are convinced that it's a deep state conspiracy, that it's a hoax, da 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 da. The fellow was talking about how difficult it is to really get people to listen to information and to try to change their minds, you know, just bang, from the get-go. His view was saying, okay, talk to them and make sure they know that there are different sources for information, sources that could have more in-depth and arguably more accurate information than they might ordinarily not have known about. And it strikes me that what you're doing, what Women Against Registry is doing, is that you are wanting to be sure that as many people as possible can access accurate information, can tell them, okay, you've heard from so-and-so, you've heard from this source, now how about giving so-and-so at another source an opportunity to listen? Am I going to, out on a limb in saying this?
Well, and I don't really know who you're speaking of, so I mm-hmm. would need to vet that mm-hmm. resource. But, you know, we want people to go out mm-hmm. and inform themselves. Mm-hmm. And the more that people inform themselves and mm-hmm. read, and it's just like newspapers. Mm-hmm. You know, the credible, reputable newspapers versus the not so much. And
the tabloids, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those kind of things. So, mm-hmm. yeah, we want people to get used to doing that and be effective.
Well, it strikes me that one of the things that you were talking about in this particular podcast, and that you got this fellow to at least take into some consideration, is that you were taking on and you were busting wide open again a long-standing sort of one-size-fits-all mentality when it comes to people who are going to be these monsters, and that you bring up the word sex, you bring up the word offender, but you've put them in the same breath, you get this ew factor. And it strikes me that's what you were trying to fight against in that particular podcast. Again, am I anywhere near correct on this, or did I go out on a limb again?
Well, the Anthony has gone back to the vigilantism that mm-hmm. he said he was rethinking about mm-hmm. and all of that. So he's gone back to it. I think he was even one of the truckers that was on Dr. Phil's show. Mm-hmm, Dr. Phil mm-hmm. blatantly told them he didn't approve of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, the one size fits all, I hope everybody's sitting down, but we have people that'll call us on mm-hmm. the support line or mm-hmm. whatever, and they'll say, I'm not one of them.
But...
You know, it doesn't help. I mean, if you're innocent and you took a plea deal, mm-hmm. I mean, I totally get it and I mm-hmm. totally understand it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, but we're all in the same boat trying to bail the water out.
And again, a one-size-fits-all mentality, a one-size-fits-all is so wildly inaccurate. It is so wildly wrong. That I'm sermonizing perhaps here, but it strikes me that that this myth that clings to life as much as it does is doing a hell of a lot more harm and virtually mm-hmm. no good.
Right. And it is, but we've got to bust that myth within, mm-hmm. within our people, within our families, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And we've got to get people to say, you know, the point is that we want people, mm-hmm. you know, once they've been adjudicated, they've paid mm-hmm. their debt to society, and they mm-hmm. want to live a life. Let them do that in peace with their family and have a job and have a place to live and mm-hmm. all of this.
Stability.
You know. We can't mm-hmm. spend our time, you know, mm-hmm. cutting out who's the, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not productive.
Now, Vicki, I've got to break in. We're already at the bottom of the hour, and the powers that be here at KEBF are going to get a little upset with me if I don't break off for about, looks like it's going to be about two and a half minutes to share some information. So, Vicki, I'm going to ask you to kind of stand by for a couple of minutes while I share some information with the listeners. And the information first to bring you is that you're listening to this week's edition of It Could Be You. I'm your host, John S. I am going to be back with you in a couple of minutes, so just hang in there. Vicki Henry, are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there could be some folks out there. I just got a text from someone we both know, and they appreciate the fact that good, solid information is getting out to the folks here in the state. And I'm quoting here, doing great and sounds great, too. So we must be doing something right.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Now, there could be the possibility that some folks might have missed the first couple of minutes of our talk. So how about refreshing everybody with contact information for the National Women Against Registry Organization and for WAR Arkansas?
Okay. Our national 800 number is 800-311-3764, mm-hmm. and you can reach us at contact. Mm-hmm. at womenagainstregistry.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also reach Debbie Holt, who is a state leader for Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
on 479-866-1464.
Mm-hmm.
And she does maintain the Arkansas State website.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, I was asking you right before we went on break about your experiences with that one particular organization, the Truckers Against Pedophiles, your appearance, your discussion on Amanda Knox's program, The Truth About True Crime. Was there anything else specifically related to that program that you'd like to share with everybody who's listening in, that you'd like to go on the record about?
Well, the reason Anthony was doing that, and if you've listened to the podcast, you heard it, was that he was abused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, therapy might have worked better than trying to entrap somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing. So that was it regarding Anthony.
Well, and this is a point I wanted to bring up a little bit later, but you triggered something that I think they need to know a lot more about. Now, there are groups, even therapy and support groups for people who are on a sex offender registry. There's the Circles of Safety and Accountability, COSA. There's a group like Caution Click. There are other ones like Think Before You Act and so on. And here in this country, where groups like COSA and so on exist, they are making a significant difference that they're helping people on a registry not to re-offend, not to commit new, if you will, sex crimes. And other countries, Canada, I believe, and a lot of countries, say within the European Union, they have their troubles with people who commit sex crimes, including sex crimes against children, but their take is therapy. Rehabilitation. an alternative to what some people might say, well, just lock them up, just send them to jail. And not only do they appear to be getting better results, but the results are not costing anywhere near as much as it would to keep one person incarcerated for 1 year. And from your take, from the experiences you've had with this organization, from talking to so many people, as you see it, why are people in this country, in the United States, so resistant to saying, okay, therapy, rehabilitation, prison, incarceration only as a last resort?
Okay, well, within the therapy arena, around our issue, the inward problem is that some of the therapy folks operate under the old regime of shame and blame. I think that the ATSA, the Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers, have turned the corner and are operating under what I call the Rockwood Psychological Group's way of doing things, and that is to treat people with respect and you'll get what you need from them.
And also, not to use a one-size-fits-all approach.
Well, and I mean, you know, because I know registrants that when I mention a therapist's name, they just shudder. And they go, don't bring that person around me. They threw a pencil across the room. It made me crawl over there and get it. And it's like, oh, my gosh. But anyway, so as far as, I mean, people are already made to do therapy and pay for it. Maybe they don't have a job. I know people that have been in therapy for 20 years. So the problem out there is just, it's snowballed. And I think there should be a term limit, so to speak, on therapy. And, you know, now a lot of the facilities are making people get therapy outside because they don't want to have to pay for it, but they want them to have it. And you need therapy, in most cases that I know of, to get a rehabilitation certificate. So, you know, I there's pros and cons to all of this. But I guess I lean on the fact that, you know, an organization that treats somebody with respect will get my attention faster than somebody that doesn't, because I've reported organizations to ATSA.
Well, there's something else that goes on, and you've dealt with it on a number of occasions. This is something that you even brought up during that particular interview, that on the one hand, there's this rising body of what can be called peer-reviewed research. I'm talking about people in medical, in legal fields, in social work, in so many areas that have taken the time, the effort, to very carefully look into the motivations of someone who commits a sex crime, who's taken a look at the different ways of treating people who wind up on a registry. And they're saying, it's a broken system, and it's getting more and more broken, like into tinier and still tinier messed pieces, but they're still all messed up. So they're there with peer-reviewed, with tons of research out there that has been proven, that has been verified. And yet, on the other hand, you still get people, and I love the way that this is brought up, the way that you referred to it in that particular program, the reptilian brain.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the reptilian brain, we had one of our conferences, we had Lori Jo Reynolds do the reptilian brain presentation. And the premise is that when you say certain things, then that the reptilian brain kicks in, and that almost negates mentioning studies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a research paper, and it's an article. It's called "Why Do We Call Someone by What We Don't Want Them to Be?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just reframing the message. Instead mm-hmm. of using sex offender, then we use citizen required to register or person required to register.
Well,
or a person touched by the justice system.
There's a line, one of my favorite lines out of the classic 1951 sci-fi film, The Day the Earth Stood Still, is where the main character, Klaatu, disguised to look like just another Earthman, he's approached by a member of the media. And when he's asked about scared, he starts to give a really good response. And he said, "I am fearful when I see people substituting fear for reason." And that reptilian brain that you mentioned is, of course, fear. Emotion is kicking in. Now, when and how, if at all at this stage, when and how can the reliance on directing people towards peer-reviewed research, how can other groups neutralize the reptilian brain?
Okay, well, we have to learn to not refer to ourselves or our loved ones as sex offenders.
Mm-hmm.
We've even had people that refuse to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's just astonishing. But one thing I wanted to mention as we move along is that we refer people, when you mention studies and all of that information, we refer people to go to our landing page on our website, go down in the lower left corner, and you'll see a link to the debate between Professor Emily Horowitz and Marcy, whatever. She doesn't like me. But anyway, where Emily annihilated her.
Mm-hmm.
And the point being is that if you go and you get that link from our site and you send it to someone, guess what that is? That's advocacy.
Mm-hmm. It's also using the benefits of peer-reviewed research.
Right, and it's letting Emily and Marcy do the talking for you and the education for you. And Marcy wouldn't even talk to me afterwards because I had my name badge on, and I asked her a question about something she'd said, and she looked at my name tag, and she said, "Oh, I know who you are," and she walked off.
Ah.
But anyway, but that's one thing we can do to advocate. So, the reptilian brain has to start, the speech has to start with us when we say what we say, what we write.
Avoid labels, avoid stereotypes at all costs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why say we want to restore and reintegrate people?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Now, You've also been visible in the print and online resources. Back in January, there was a magazine, online magazine, Vox, had an article about you and Women Against Registry. And then there was another one where you were one of several individuals highlighted in an appropriately named, in light of what we've been talking about, in an appropriately named online magazine called Reason. And you and others have had this print, this online opportunity to go into detail about what you're doing and the impacts that you're making. Now, I will urge all the listeners to go and find these articles. I believe you have them linked at the Women Against Registry website. Let me ask you this. Has the podcast with Amanda Knox, these articles, how have they helped WAR's visibility and the work that you're wanting to get done?
Well, of course, they reach people wider and faster than we can.
Uh-huh.
individually.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the Vox article was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that having a reporter or a journalist sitting in the passenger seat while you're driving to our meeting so she could tape that with a recorder and asking you questions while you're trying to listen to MapQuest is not a lot of fun.
Well, now you're working on a variation of challenging people to walk a few miles in your shoes. Okay, you really want to find out what it's all about. You got to see up close and personal, you know, what work we're doing. But you know, I've heard arguments. I've heard some comments coming from. Maybe some people are maybe they're going to be coming across a little bit more pessimistic, but as you see it, taking these arguments from others, and that would be that: is it going to take more people? First of all, more people winding up on a sex offense registry, more collateral damage that's done, and maybe some celebrities are going to have to be caught, or they're rich and so on. As you see it, is it going to take this to really help push and to finally, ultimately achieve reform, abolition of the registries?
Well, I don't think, I mean, we've had people, you know, like when what's his name? The guy that just died, sorry.
Jeffrey Epstein?
Epstein, yeah. When people used to tell us, oh, you should reach out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you should reach out to Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
You should do, well, you know what? These people, they keep their distance, too.
Mm-hmm.
We never
mm-hmm.
heard anything back from them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like trying to get people to help us that, you know, are not willing to.
Well, I've heard from various people within your group, within a lot of other groups, that yes, there are these efforts to reach out to persons who are on the registry, maybe their families, to reach out to them to say, okay, here we are, here's Women Against Registry, here's this organization. And yet the registrants, their families, they are not contacting or joining groups such as WAR. They're afraid. I've heard the arguments that they're afraid that something like WAR is actually a police sting, that they show up there, they're just going to be rearrested, and the police are going to concoct some sort of technical violation. Well, how do you then effectively deal with such fears?
Well, and we do, I mean, you know, when we do a snail mail campaign, we've had people that have held on to that letter and brochure that we sent them for a year before they worked up enough nerve to call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fear factor for months before they called.
Mm-hmm.
And in one case, a lady opened a letter, read it, and crying, gave it to her husband, who was a registrant, and said, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing. But, you know, the problem is, I mean, of course, I've been told that I'm not a registrant, but I, you know, am close to what a registrant is.
Well, now you're getting into areas where maybe the collateral damage has been done.
Right. But you know, it's like Janice says, show up, stand up, and speak up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when people say they don't have time, I think people have to get to the point where, you know, they either say, okay, I do have a couple of weeks, a couple of hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say you don't have a couple of hours a week to create a life that you want, then adjust your expectations accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask several people that know me how many times I have said that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a popular statement. And it, of course, it takes me out of the running for Miss Senior America. But it's just a matter of fact, you know, this is just not going to go away.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, we've only got a few minutes left, but I do have a couple of things I did want you to address. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, in addition to what you had just said, okay, everyone who's going to be listening in, whether right now or
do a podcast that's made out of this program or an archived version, however they want to access it, okay? Vicki Henry, what, in addition to what you just said, what else do you want to say to everyone, whether they are incarcerated as a result of a sex crime conviction, okay, as well as to those who are out, who are on a registry, and to their families? What else do you want them to know about? What else do you want to tell them?
Well, one thing that we tell them, if they're incarcerated, and we get letters just, from people incarcerated, and we tell them, get your family involved. Some of them have families that have deserted them. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But get your families involved. If you have a loved one and you're a member of WAR, and we send a newsletter, or you see something on our website, or you see something on our Facebook page that you could send to your loved one, then print it out and send it to them. You know, and get involved as a family, and work toward making your loved one's life better when they do come out. And we get a lot of letters from people that want to know what they expect when they get out because of the horror stories that they hear. But if you're out, you know, and there's people that, you know, we don't hear from for a long time because life is going good, and then all of a sudden here they are because something went south.
Now, there are so many there's an old aspect of English law, and I believe it's been carried over into American law as well. Now, there has been some attention given to it, but I'm going to use it kind of in the original setting, that silence implies consent. That if no one out there is, say, okay, these laws on the books, the whole thing about the registry, so much else about it is wrong. But if you don't, well, as you said, stand up, show up, speak up, okay? If the silence remains, the powers that be, and pretty well everybody else in society, they're coming to the conclusion wrongly that everybody is okay with the get tough on sex offenders spiel. They're okay with the lock them up and throw away the keys idea. They're okay by saying, okay, let's use vigilante actions against all of these damn dirty pedophiles and so on.
Right. Well, and the thing that, I mean, within, you know, our people, we understand the fear is there. And we understand that people feel like they feel so defeated that it's like, we can't change it. We can't do this. We can't do that. But my statement to them real quick is, hey, folks, you know, the civil rights movement, the gay didn't have all the tools that we have.
The women's rights movements, for heaven's sake.
Well, and we have the internet, we have Twitter, we have all of these other, we have podcasts, we have all these things that can propel us. And we just need to be taking advantage of it. There will be change. There has been change.
And there has been. I remember not too long ago that the Michigan Attorney General wrote in support of a lawsuit that was challenging a tremendous amount of that state's registry and the laws as unconstitutional. And it seems like that there are more court cases, there's more going on that can, and I hope ultimately will, join forces with WAR, with all of the other groups, and bring about very positive changes. And unfortunately, we're going to have to cut it off there. We're just about out of time. But just very quickly, one more time, the telephone numbers at least for WAR National and WAR Arkansas.
800-311-3764. And Arkansas is 479-866-1464.
Vicki, would I be able to, I'm no Amanda Knox or anyone like that, but could I arm twist or threaten or beg or plead you to come back onto the program in the not too distant future? There's a lot more that I wanted to cover with you, but we're just out of time.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Vicki Henry, I want to thank you for being part of this week's It Could Be You. Hang in there. I'll probably be in touch with you very shortly and just let you know what's going on, as well as to give you formally, officially, unofficially, however you want to take it, a great big thank you for taking of your time and effort. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye now. Vicki Henry.